Ray, who would you like to have open up?
Brother Kenny over here.
Kenny, all right. If I could have everybody's attention, Kenny's going to open us up, and Ray's going to get started.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning, Lord God. We thank you for the treats, Father God, the food, Lord God. I thank you for the dedication, Father God, for those that prepare the food, Lord God. Father, I ask that just the food that's going to be presented today, Father God, be a banquet table that we could feast on, Father God, as Ray brings forth the word, Lord God. And let that be nourishment to our spirits, Lord God. And as we enter into the sanctuary to worship you, Lord God, let us put everything aside and focus upon you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Last week, we talked about seeking God first and the consequences of not seeking God in things that we do in every day. And I gave a brief testimony on how that happened to me in my life. And the consequences of that was that for a long time of my life, I went the wrong path. And it almost cost me to an extent my salvation if I would have kept going that way. But God had his own plans, and he wasn't going to allow that to happen. This week is the second part, and is the benefits, the good things, the positive things that happen when we choose to put everything in God's hands and seek him first. Now, we all agree that it's important that we must put God first in everything that we do. Amen? Everybody agrees with that? Good. Matthew 6:33. And this is what I started with last week, and then I'll jump into this part. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5 through 8, and I didn't read the whole verse, but I'm just going to read what I wrote down here. Actually, it's the two verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to our bones. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge who? Him. Who's him? Christ. Right? It says not in our own understanding, because the way we perceive things, the way we want to understand things, I guarantee you it is not the same way God understands it, or God sees it. Okay? His plans are his plans. Our plans are never his plans. We agree on that one?
Yep.
Right? That our plans are not his plans. What we want to do, what we like to do, or sometimes what we just do regardless, most of the time, if not all the time, is not what he has planned for us. Okay? God says turn left, and we say, well, wait a minute. My GPS says that if I go around this way, I can probably get there a little faster. Jesus said turn left. He didn't say go this way or look at your GPS. He said turn left. We need to do what he says. It's not what we say. It's what God says. Again, it's not our understanding. I'm sorry, Pastor.
Yeah, like that illustration in World War II, there was a base in northern Africa, you know, Air Force military base, United States Air Force, and they were sent into Europe on a bombing run, and on their way back they encountered fog, but they had also picked up a big tailwind. So if you have that tailwind blowing behind you, and I mean it was a strong wind, well, they had got to their point, and their instruments said, you know, this is where the airport is, but they didn't believe their instruments. And they said it couldn't because, you know, we've only been flying a half hour. It should take us an hour, you know, hour and a half, whatever it was. So they overshot their destination. They didn't trust the instruments. shot end up crashing out in the desert. They found them after the war. So, you know, the importance of trusting those instruments, even though everything around you, you know, their eyes were telling them, or, you know, their senses were telling them, hey, it's got to be here because the clock, you know, but they didn't realize the variables that came up. So that's the word of God in our life, that we're to trust it, trust God, and not lean on our own understanding. He's like that instrument panel, you know, in that plane, that when you can't see outside, well, you don't know where you're going, you better trust what he has and where he's leading you.
Amen. Yeah, because the first part, like Pastor Don just said, the first part of that verse is trust in the Lord. I mean, it can't get no more simpler than that. Trust in the Lord. He's our guide. He's our direction. He's the one that tells us where to go, how to go, which way to go, when to go, if not to go. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. It'll succeed only if we commit it to the Lord. How many times have we heard people, and I know that in my own life, I've experienced this, that I did not put it in his hands first. And I paid a hefty price for that.
The way the Lord spells success is a whole lot different than the way we spell success, okay? And I was just thinking as you said that, you know, famous story, that, you know, just a brief thing about years ago, a missionary went to Africa. He took his family with him. While he was there, no converts. He lost a couple of his kids because of sickness, blah, 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 blah. He died. His wife died. He walked away from the faith, abandoned his children, and just left. His children were adopted out all over the United States. His daughter, at one point, she decided she wanted to find out who her brothers were and see if she could, you know, find her dad. So she gathered them all together. This was the day before the planes. They had they found out their dad was living somewhere over in the Netherlands. So they all met in New York, took a boat over there. While they were in England, in London, England, waiting for more passage to the continent, she couldn't sleep one night. So she got up and she went walking around. She heard some singing, went over to a church, went in there. And there was a black minister in there, ministering to the crowd, telling about the mighty move of God in Africa. Well, come to find out, that man was the boy from the tribe that her dad had ministered to. He was the only one there. He would follow him around when he was a little kid, and they couldn't even speak the language. But they had so influenced, he became a minister and now was leading many people in his country to Christ. So they went to the father. They found him. He was a drug addict. He was almost dead. Because he thought that God had abandoned him, that he wasn't successful in his calling. And when they told him about it, he, you know, you could see the joy returned. He rededicated his life, died a short time after that. But that's why I say we got to be careful how we measure success, because God may take us down a path we don't even, no idea. You know, we think it's the worst thing in the world, but it's exactly where he wants us at the time. So you got to be careful. Don't think that it's always, the band marching, trumpets blasting, yeah, people, amen, you know, worshiping, you know, falling at your feet and telling you what a great job you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. The joy is not in what happens. The joy is in being obedient. Whatever happens is the Lord's anyway. It's not our doing to begin with. Amen. And, you know, he knows what he's doing, so don't worry about that. Our joy should just be in being obedient. That's all he asks.
The good side of it is that when you don't listen to the Lord, go your own way. When you do find yourself in a hole, God doesn't look and say, see, I told you so, I told you so.
Except in your case.
Amen. Because, like Pastor Don said, I mean, success, I mean, our ultimate goal is to be with him. Right? That's what we're doing. Our ultimate goal, that's what our desire should be. When we seek God, it's so that one day we can be with him. And when we can meet all the people that we heard about in the scriptures, we get to talk to Noah. Exactly how did you build that? I mean, you know, right? There's some things I like to ask some of these people. And one day If I stay obedient to God's word and I follow what God wants for me, I have that opportunity to do that, to meet God. That's our ultimate goal. That's what we strive for. It's not whether or not we have the $5.5 million house in the yacht. I think I showed that one time on Prosperity. It's not about that. It's not about that at all. That's all fine and dandy, but that's not going to get you to heaven. I guarantee you that. I don't care how big your boat is, how big your house is. That's not going to get you to heaven. That's not success. That's only success for the people that don't know Christ. That's what they measure it by. We don't measure that. We measure what God says, what God wants for us, His word. That's what we go by, God's word. Jeremiah 29, verse 12, 13. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. I will listen to you. A lot of times, and in my life, for a long period of time, I thought that God wasn't listening to me, that He wouldn't listen to me because of how bad my past was. I did. For a long time in my life, I didn't think God would ever listen to me. Because the enemy had put in my mind that my past, my sins were so great that God in no way would hear me.
Then He met me.
You know, but His word says, pray to me and I will listen to you. God always listens. The problem is, for us, is that we want Him not only to listen, but we want Him to go ahead and answer right away. We want God to listen, and we want Him to answer right away. God's timing is not our timing. When we go to God, we have to believe that whatever He's going to do, He's going to do it on His time. We want to try and rush God. We want to try and push Him. And sometimes, a lot of times, we don't even want to include Him at all in what we're doing. We think that we know best. We think that our way is the best way, and we just want to go ahead and make God, and I said it this last week, we want to make Him a part-time God, a convenient God. We only want to go to Him in those times where we are in a little trouble and, you know, when we kind of need a little help, then that's when we want to go to Him. You know, that's when we want to go to our prayer time and say, God, you know what? Yeah, I know I messed up, but if you help me with this, I promise you, next Sunday, I will get there so early. You know, and that's what we want to try and do. We want to try and like, limit God or put, you know, strings on what God can and cannot do. Again, when we seek Him first, you got to understand that it's Him. He's the one that decides when, how, and where He's going to do what He wants to do. We just got to be faithful to God and His word. And understand that He's the one that decides everything. We got to put everything in God's hands. I know that there's a lot of people here and probably not even here, and I'll speak for myself. Like I said, I know a lot of times I didn't do that. I didn't seek God first. And through errors, okay, because they were errors, because I didn't do that, I found out that, you know what? There's an easy way of doing this. Giving it to Him and let Him do what He wants to do in my life. Not what Ray wants to do in Ray's life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Again, a lot of times in a lot of churches, they think that they only want to focus, or they only focus on the reward part. That's all they want to focus on, is on the reward part. God's going to bless you in his timing, in his way. He knows what you need. God will always give you what you need, not what you want. There's a big difference, because a lot of times we want so much, and half the times we don't even need it. We just want it. It's true. I know a lot of people that have a lot. They want it a lot. And they're so miserable. They're so sad with everything that they have.
Do you ever notice anything that we desire or really want? I mean, even if we have to work for it, something we've just, oh, that's all we think about. But when we get it, it never matches up to the desire for it, does it?
Amen.
There's a scripture in James that says every good gift comes from God. That means it can be everything, every grace you get is from God. And that love or anything you get, like extra, is a grace and is a good gift. And it can also come from God too.
Amen. You know, I think I'd rather, and I speak for myself, you know, I think, and I know that I'd rather do the things for God than all the things that will either get me or give me things of this world. Because you know what? I can't, none of that pleases God. And don't get me wrong. God blesses us. He wants to bless us. He wants us to succeed. There's nothing wrong with that. But our focus should never be on the success part, on the reward part. It should always be on that who is giving it to you, which is Christ. Right? We got to be with the thankful heart. There are a few stories here that I'll go over real quick, and not the whole story. I kind of just grabbed a few parts that kind of prayed on and read upon. And one of them, coincidentally, we are learning on Thursdays at the Bible study. And again, I encourage you, if you have the chance and the time, and what are we talking about? Seeking God first, right? So if you can go ahead and put aside something that you know can wait and get to church on a Thursday and sit down and get to learn God's word, I mean, what a great opportunity to be able to do that. That's a huge blessing. Now, I know not everybody can make it because of our jobs or whatever, but if you have that opportunity, you got that time, make the time to try and get in on a Thursday, sit down, and you see how Pastor Don and Bob and Pastor John, they just go ahead and just grab the scriptures and explain it. I said, I have a hard time when I'm reading something to try and understand it. It takes me a while. But when, you know, that's why I try to make my schedule so I can be here, because when they kind of break it down for you, I kind of go like, duh, I get it now. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not that smart. So, you know, it takes me a while to read things. But when I can sit down and I'm sitting there and Bob and Pastor Don, they do a great job of kind of breaking it down so you understand it. In other words, you know, I've heard this on some movie, you know, talk to me like I'm a seventh grader. Right? Talk to me like I'm a seventh grader, you know, or fifth grade. Yeah, talk to me like I'm a kid. Break it down so that I can understand it. You know, and they do a great job. So, again, if you can get here. I mean, seriously, we're talking about God's word. We come on Sundays and we talk to each other and we say, what a great service, and that's fine. That's great. But make the time to say, you know what? The grass can wait. The trimmings, you know, whatever I'm doing, the leaves can wait. Shopping can wait. It's Thursday. You know what? They're going to start about another 10, 15 minutes. I'm going to get there. And you'll be surprised when you leave here how much more understanding you have of God's word. That's just a plug-in for the Thursdays. Nehemiah humbly sought God first, asking for forgiveness for the people of Israel including himself, so that God can use him to rebuild the walls and gates of Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, I believe. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept for some days. I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He didn't go ahead and say, you know what, I got this. I know, I can figure it out. I can take care of this. I really don't need God on this one. He can, you know, I know you're busy. Step aside for a minute. Take a break. I know you got a few prayers that you got to answer. Why don't you go ahead and do that? I got this one. We do that sometimes. We do. I've done that. Really, I've done that. Where I think that I can go ahead and do it on my own because I know how to do something. I know how to fix this. Guys, how many times have we grabbed the instructions of something we got to put together and set it aside? Guilty as charged. I'm sorry? We don't even take it out of the box. Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. We've done that, right? We go ahead and open the package, and the instructions are right there, and we don't even look at them.
Yeah, so you remember the old Johnny Cash song when he builds the Cadillac? You remember that, Bob?
Yes, sir.
Every year he would steal parts from the plant and put them in his garage, and then after about 10 years they put together this car. And, well, obviously, you know, the Cadillac changed over those 10 years, and so he's driving down the street and this thing's just wild. And that's exactly what we do with God. You know, we just want to try to cram it together. We'll make it fit some way. We don't care what it looks like, how it turns out, as long as we can say we did it ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
Amen. You know, and I thought about this morning. I don't know why it came to me, but, you know, not seeking God first. For those who like baseball, that's like standing up there, getting a nice hit, and going straight to third. Well, you know, and I don't know how many people have watched like little kids, little league players, and when they do that, do you ever see like people like just like freak out, especially the parents? Like, what are you doing? Oh, they're screaming, you're going the wrong way. What's wrong with you? I mean, they're just screaming. Poor kids, just, he got a hit. That's all he cares about. He's just going to a base. He don't care what base he's going to. Right? That's all he cares about. He's just going to a base. All right? And that's, you know, for us, it's like there's a procedure. There's a way of doing things. When you hit the ball, you got to go to first. Okay? We don't do that a lot of times. We want to go straight to third. We want to skip first and second. Because we think that if we go to third, we can hurry up and get home plate. Well, it doesn't work that way. Just like it doesn't work that way in baseball. There's rules in baseball. And believe me, if anybody has rules, it's God's rules. And he tells us you got to seek him first. You can't just go ahead and bypass the first two bases. Because at the end, what's going to happen? You're going to be called what? Out. Right? It says, when he heard this, he wept for some days, mourned, fasted, and prayed. He's seeking God. I encourage you to read the prayer. Nehemiah chapter 1. And in the other chapters, he also has some prayers. And I encourage you to read that. And that's what we're studying right now on Thursday. And go in there and read his prayer. Now, we spoke this at the Bible study. You know, and Pastor Don, you know, do we sometimes pray the way they prayed? And I encourage you, get into your word and go into Nehemiah and read. Start from chapter 1 and go into that. And again, make it here on Thursdays. God gave him favor with the king. God gave him wisdom and direction with the people. God blessed Nehemiah by putting him in charge of rebuilding the walls and gates of Jerusalem, which is no small feat. The walls alone were 39.36 feet high, almost 40 feet high. They were 8.2 feet wide. Because yeah, it was more metric. They used metric. Yeah, this is you know, explain it to me like I'm a fifth grader. Feet. No. Yeah. Again, I just Googled some of this information on the measurements. Yeah, so that's what it gave me. I was actually gonna have it up where it actually shows a picture of how it was when they came back to Jerusalem, when it was all this, you know, torn apart and everything, and then a picture of after it was like what it would look like after it was rebuilt, and it is awesome.
Real quick, if you go on YouTube, there was a guy over in Beijing, China, and he had one of those drones, then he had a camera on it, and it went up over the Forbidden City. If you know what that is, it's a city, it's a tourist act, but it, you know, was for kings and priests back in China and those. But you look at the size of these walls that are there, and I mean, they're beautiful, but they paled in comparison to the walls that they had rebuilt for Jerusalem or some of these ancient cities. Babylon's walls, I think I read somewhere, were almost 100 feet high. Those were the outer walls, and the inner walls were over 200 feet high. So incredible, you know, the towers, you know, four. The citadel, Susa, I mean, they were all incredible. They were destroyed because of warfare and that. But to see them in their glory, you know, a lot of our buildings, we'd look and they'd pale in comparison. They really would.
Hey, man, again, now this is all God's doing, okay? And it was because Nehemiah did something first. He went to God first and prayed for the forgiveness of the people. He went ahead and did what we need to do all the time. Go to God first. What is it you want me to do? Where is it you want me to go? Use me. That should be our prayer to God every day. Nehemiah knew where he had to go. See, we know where we got to go. The problem is we just don't sometimes want to go there. Ever heard that? Don't go there. Okay? But we actually need to go there. We need to go to God first. It's just a lot of times we don't want to do that. We want to take shortcuts. There's blessings when we go to God first. God loves it when you go to Him first. When our child is sick, something about our home, car, job, when we go to Him first, and here's the key, not just go to Him first, but listen to what He tells you. That's the key part. Going to Him first is what we need to do. The second part of that is we need to listen to what He's telling you, because a lot of times we don't want to listen. We just want to tell Him what we want to hear. God, this is my problem. Take care of it. Like He's your bodyguard, you know, your bouncer or something like that. He's a lightweight over there. Take care of it. No. God, here's my problem. I need help with this. My house, my car, my family. Please help me continue to raise my kids in Your ways. Please help me with my wife, so I can be the husband, the father to my family that You want me to be. And if we do that, we need to do that. And we need to listen to, because God's going to tell you how to do it. He's going to show you how to do it. That's what we need to listen for. His direction. Nehemiah followed God's direction. And he was blessed because he went to God and God used him to rebuild the walls and the gates. And again, that was no small feat. Like Pastor Don said, those walls were huge.
Actually, too, that was a step down. He was the cupbearer
yes.
for the king, which was a great honor. He had the king's ear, so everybody did everything for him, you know, hoping to get the king's ear. But he'd give all that up to go build a wall. Now, what thanks did he get for that? Just the opposite, right?
Amen. Moses, here's another man that God used because he always saw God. Every time the Israelites needed something, Moses went to God and God always heard him. He answered. He gave them what they needed, what they always wanted. They received food and water, freedom, protection. And he showed them the powerful things that he can do. They got to see what he can do. God will always provide when we go to him first. Every time they needed something to eat, God always provided. God is our provider. There again, there's blessings. And this again, we're going on the positive part of seeking God first. There's blessings. There's power when we go and seek him first. When we go to God for what we need, God will hear what you need. And I guarantee you, if you need it, he'll give it to you. Okay? He will. Me and my wife, I said this last week, we were praying for a car because she needed one like bad. She did. Every time it rained, we see parts of the car on the driveway. And I never wanted to wash it because if I did, especially power wash it, I grabbed the hose. Literally, I grabbed the hose and just like no nozzle, kind of just let the water hit it. Okay, I wouldn't put the sprayer because last time I did it, I actually saw a piece of the car fall down. Okay, so we needed a car. Now, it'd be easy just to say, you know what? Let's just go get one. Why not? He knows we need it. He should understand. We want to speak for him now. All right? We didn't do that. We knew better. He says, you know what? We need to pray on this first. And we did, and she needed it. And every day, you know, I go out there and like, Lord, really? I mean, you know, this week would be great. You know, winter's coming. The heater don't work all that great. Really, anytime now. It's in his timing, and we knew that, and we prayed and prayed and prayed. And God opened doors. God said, okay, now it's time. And he opened the doors. Those are blessings from God, and we know that. I know that. That's not because of me. That's not because of my job. You know why? Because guess who gave me the job? Jesus. Everything is him. Everything is Jesus. He's our provider. He's the one that gave you the job. Now remember, the job that he wanted to give you. Because sometimes, even in that, we want to go ahead and say, hey, I qualify for that one. That's where I'm going. Seek God first on everything that we do, including jobs. I did that in the past. It was a job that I thought it was great for me, and it wasn't. I didn't see God on that one, and I paid the consequences for that. Joseph plotted against by his brothers to be killed, sold, tempted by his boss's wife. I put boss's wife. That's not in the Bible. I just kind of put that on there. Wrongly accused, imprisoned. And in all this, he always went to God. At the time when most of us would have took vengeance, he put it in God's hands and ultimately became one of the most powerful men in Israel, second only to the king. I did a teaching on that, and it was about vengeance. And how sometimes somebody will do something to us, and we want to be quick to go ahead and respond to that. And again, we're talking about seeking God first, and that applies to everything. We need to seek God first. Just don't go ahead and do something on your own. He had, by my thoughts, every right to go after his family, especially his brothers. He didn't do that. You know what his ultimate vengeance was? If you read it, his ultimate vengeance was that he blessed his family. That's how he paid them back. He blessed them. He didn't curse them. He didn't have them killed, which he could have. He had every power to do that. He didn't do that. He paid them back by blessing them. How many times we can say that we've done that? that we went to God first because somebody did something wrong to us, that we went to God first, prayed on it before we acted on it. And said, you know what, I'm going to bless them. That's what Joseph did.
You know, his heart might not have been like that at the beginning. When he first got that word, a great word from God, right, that my brothers are all going to bow down to me. Who did he go tell that to? His brothers.
His brothers.
Obviously, there was a little bit of issue there. He was a young man. There's still some haughtiness, right? God sent him through all those steps to make him a real man, to understand what other people are going through and stuff. That's why he could be so humble at the end. So all of that stuff wasn't just things he had to go through. It was things he needed that God sent him through to make him the man that he turned out to be.
Amen. Now I'll read this last scripture right here. And I know everybody's heard this before. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm sure that Pastor Don knows it by heart. For I know the plans I have for who? You. Declares who? The Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. What's our future? What's our future?
Life with
God. Life with God. That's our future. That's something that we should strive for every day. Get with him. Get into his word. Seek him out first. Because he knows the plans he has for you. He wants to prosper us. But again, not in the way that sometimes we think we're going to be prosperous. Okay? His prosperity and our prosperity are two different things. Okay? So, I encourage you, seek God first in everything that we do. That's something that I have to put in my head every single day. Seek him first. Go to him on everything that I'm doing, everything that I want to do. Go to God. And when you go to God, listen to what he wants to tell you. Don't just go ahead and say, you know what? I prayed on it. He'll answer me while I'm in the process of what I'm doing. No. Seek God first, pray to him, read his word, and then wait on what God wants to do with you. Obedience to his word.
I want to share just a couple quick stories. When I took the coaching job down at Detroit Western, it's kind of like Nehemiah going back to that city. When I went down there, it's like they had absolutely nothing. They had these bats from, you know, 4 or 5 years ago that were cruddy, some old softballs, some old jerseys, and the guy says, build me a program. And I'm like, okay. And so, you know, the first thing we did is we took an inventory. Hey, we're going to need some practice equipment. We're going to need some game equipment and blah, 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 blah. So there was a couple occasions, three occasions, I'm thinking just right off the top of my head, I could probably do it for everything down there. I said, God, you put me in this position to teach these young girls this. You know we need new things. And the first thing that we need is a pitching machine. Okay? I'm checking all around, can't find it. So the next day I'm talking to the boys' varsity coach, and he worked in the school. He's a counselor in there. And I said, yeah, you know, one of the pieces of equipment I really, just really been praying about, and it'll probably be next year I'm going to have a fundraiser and get it. This is a pitching machine for the girls. He says, oh, I got one. I go, really? He goes, yeah, it's in my office. And I checked all over this school. So I'm like, oh, thank you, God. So we got that. So then I'm like, okay, I'd like to see the girls get new jerseys. So I'm standing out in front of the church, and there was like a birthday party or something going on here, and all of a sudden a car pulled up in front, and it was the principal from Western High School, and his kid was playing football across the street. He goes, Coach, I've been looking for you. He says, you know, I want to tell you this. I came in a little bit of money, and I want to get you guys some new uniforms. Okay, and I just started, you know, okay, thank you, God. So then one day I'm like, it'd be sure be nice to have a batting cage outside where the girls could go and, you know, I can break them up into different things. I'm praying that on 75 going down there one day. And I'm just thinking, you know, it'd be nice to have it one day. And I pull up and I'm at Clark Park, and what do I see? A batting cage right at the field there. And I'm like, where did this come from? Well, the boys' coach had got it, and we can use it, you know. And so it's like everything that I needed, or if I needed a contact somewhere, or if I needed someone down there, boom, you know, God, okay, open the door. Bring someone, bring whatever to help these kids so that they can get better and better and better. And it's a funny, but because it's just a simple thing, you know. But yet it's going to God, seeking him first, because our goal is not to build, it is to build a program, but it's to introduce them to Jesus Christ and what he can do. And it's amazing to see his hand, that when you're in his will, everything that he will do for you. And so I just kind of sit back and I'm like, okay, God, you know, so we're going to bring our needs to you, what we have down here, even though it's something dumb like, you know, a high school softball team. But yet you begin to see these things just come from somewhere. A door gets open, somebody's got this, somebody donates that. Oh, we needed some spikes and gloves one time. I'm sitting in the office praying, all of a sudden the phone rings. I pick it up. It's a guy from the Detroit Tigers. Hey, we want to donate a bunch of balls and bats and shoes and spikes. Do you know anybody that could use them?
No.
I go, I'll be there in 10 minutes. And I went down there, and now he calls me every year. And so I take them and drop them off for the kids down there. So it just shows you putting God first, seeking him. It could be a small, dumb need like that, or it can be something that's big, somebody sick or what have you. You'll see God moving it. He's always faithful to do it. I certainly will. Father, we thank you for the word today. And Lord, as we've been talking about seeking first the kingdom of God, Lord, may we seek you in all things. And Lord, may we, I know we're all guilty of it, you know, going through something and then coming to you. But Lord, may that be something that's burned deep in our heart, deep in our mind, deep in our spirit. That Lord, that every day, every endeavor that we undertake, like it says in Proverbs, that we would seek you first and not lean on our own understanding, but acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will direct our paths. Father, we thank you. And Lord, as we go down for the service today, we pray your anointing, your presence. We pray, Father, those that don't know you, that you would draw them into relationship with you, that you would open the eyes of our understanding. And Lord, that as we go down there, our desire is to bless you today. Yes. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for the food that we received.
Yes. Thank you,
God. Let your blessing be upon Donna as she prepares down the road further, more food for us, and we thank you for it. We were speaking that in faith. So, Father, we thank you for this day, and let your joy just fill each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.